Welcome to the Recruiting Masters podcast brought to you by the CFC Insider. We're Katie and Clint, and you're listening to another CFL draft edition of the Recruiting Masters on CanadaFootballChat.com. We've got Quincy Ford with us today again, and we're going to be doing linebackers. We have done the two previous ones on running backs, fullbacks, and receivers, and we're switching to the other side of the ball to a position that is Clint's favorite.
It's about time.
So, Quincy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. So, we've got linebackers today. What's your overall impression of this whole group?
I think it's a pretty good linebacker class the CFL has on their hands this year. I guess the number one guy probably be NFL bound, so that has a bit of an impact on the CFL draft with Amon Ogbonlamiga of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, likely NFL bound. But other than that, you got guys like Deshaun Stevens, Ben Platic, and Grant McDonald, who will probably all go in the first two rounds, at worst top 25 picks for all three of those guys. And then Nick Cross is there too. Tyree LeBeau out of UMass is there. So it's a pretty solid class.
Well, let's start right with Amon Ogbonlamiga. He's 6'1", 235. He's a Calgary hometown boy from Alberta. Played his games at Notre Dame. And I didn't know this, but he was part of a 37 winning streak at Notre Dame, which was Notre Dame's one of our CFC 50 high school ranked teams. But he was one of the best linebackers that we've seen come out of Canada in some time. And obviously his resume speaks for itself. Give us the lowdown on Ogbonlamiga.
Like you said, resume speaks for itself a little bit there. Over the past two seasons where he's been a starter, he has 180 tackles, 20.5 tackles for loss, 7.5 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, 3 fumble recoveries, and an interception in just 24 games. So he certainly is a stat sheet stuffer.
Yeah.
But in both 2019 and 2020, he was an all Big 12 player. So that's one of the best, probably three conferences in college football right there. And he's an all-star. He was the team's defensive MVP in 2019 and their special teams MVP in 2018, which catapulted him into the starting lineup the next year, per se. But when you watch him, like, the biggest thing you'll notice are his instincts. His flow to the ball really stands out. He's just kind of a natural at the position. Obviously, he was also a team captain, so he also kind of brings that leadership to the table. You can see him pre-snap communicating with his teammates and kind of getting the defense set from that linebacker position. He can blitz. He's a very effective blitzer as well. The stats you can see on your own with the 20.5 tackles for loss and 7.5 sacks. He's a sure tackler, not the hardest hitting guy, but he wraps up. And obviously he'll bring that special teams element to whatever team he ends up on next year.
What do you think about him, Clint? Or what do you remember? I know you totally just think he's a superstar.
His high school film was probably, and you've picked two really good ones, because the two most dominant linebacker high school films I've watched personally, if you were to add the heights and weights and you kind of add all that little stuff to it, are Amon and Grant McDonald. Amon was probably the best linebacker we've evaluated in terms of just overall film. He was the most sudden. Everything he did was flashy. And then in high school, he was a ferocious hitter just because he probably got there so fast. I just remember like an insane athlete. I think we used to call him Baby Ray Lewis back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
That's quite a comparison.
For real?
We're talking about high school now. Obviously, his resume at Oklahoma State, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a Canadian linebacker with those type of accolades in the history of Canadian linebackers. Because, I mean, I've followed football forever now. And yeah, there was guys like Peter Iliopsach, and there was other guys who went to different schools, but I've never seen anything like that. He's an academic, all Big 12 three or four times, and then he was special teams player of the year. Then he's like first team all-conference, and then he's team captain. So yeah, he's probably the best high school linebacker I've evaluated in my time with CFC.
I'd say with him, like, the only knock I have on him other than his size, because, like, I guess as an NFL guy, like 6'1", that'll probably have him a little lower on draft boards than he should be. But I'd say the only knack as a player I have on him is in coverage. I find him kind of a step behind sometimes. Like, he's a little bit more reactive than he is kind of anticipatory as a defender in zone coverage. So that's the only thing for him. But he's a guy who I think, if he manages to slip through the NFL crack, should be an extremely, extremely early CFL pick, honestly top three. But I doubt he's going to fall through the NFL cracks. It won't happen.
Our next prospect is Deshaun Stevens, 6'2", 255, out of Toronto, Ontario. Played at Maine and went to Kent School. He's turned out to be a pretty outstanding linebacker for sure. It'll be interesting to see how things turn out, as he had an outstanding season, then was sidelined by injury and then COVID. But Quincy, let me ask you this. Was he an FCS All-American?
He was an FCS preseason All-American coming into 2019, but he tore his Achilles like a game into the season, unfortunately. So I think that like he very well could have been an All-American player by the end of that season, but for obvious reasons that stopped him. But back in 2018, he probably got snubbed from being an All-American, because in 14 games as a starter in 2018, where he was their defensive MVP, his stat line was just absurd. He had 120 tackles, 17 tackles for loss, 9 sacks, a forced fumble, 2 fumble recoveries, 2 pass breakups, and an interception. And just like in 14 games, that's pretty ridiculous. But unfortunately, he came in and tore his Achilles in the first game of the 2019 season after his all-conference performance in 2018. But he's back this year in their little spring season. Unfortunately, Maine's only gotten to play 4 games, and their team has not been very good relative to what they were in 2018. His stat line is a little worse, but tackle wise he's still racking them up with 36 tackles in 4 games. But with him, when I watch him, I like the kind of violent wrecking ball sort of element he brings to the table as a player. He gets off his blocks and kind of just throws offensive linemen off of him a little bit. He's extremely effective as a pass rusher and a blitzer, and he comes off the edge all the time, and he just absolute, his power is on display there, because he kind of just collapses the pocket coming off the edge. And his power is also on display with his tackling, where he drives guys back. And he's another guy who brings that sort of leadership to the table like Ogbong Bamiga does, as he's another team captain for his team.
Was Stevens the violent wrecking ball, as Quincy says, in high school?
Oh yeah, completely. I was always shocked that he went to like an FCS school. I always thought he was going to go to an FBS. And part of it was, I think in high school, he was kind of used as a blitzer. I remember his film at Kent. But yeah, I was always shocked that he never went to a bigger school. And I always thought, especially when he got injured that 1 year, I was like, he's going to sit out and then hit the transfer portal. So I was always kind of surprised. He must be a great kid if he just stuck it out. But I was always surprised that he never went to a bigger school. But not to take away anything from the fact that like, his 2018 season is like insane. But I mean, for me, it's kind of, yeah, he is a wrecking ball, especially his height and his weight. But once again, my biggest comment about him is I always thought he should have gone to a bigger school, not to take anything away from Maine, because they went to the semis that 2018 year, I believe.
They had quite a few Canadians on that Maine team, didn't they?
Yeah, they have a ton. And they did go to the semis in that 2018 year, but unfortunately they've taken a step backwards. But with Deshaun, I think if you're comparing him to the other guys we kind of have up for today, I think what kind of sets him back compared to the other guys is the fact that they got a bunch of freak athletes on the board here, like Ogbong Bamiga running a 4.66, Platic running the same thing, McDonald running a 4.56, and Cross is obviously one of the smaller, quicker guys. Deshaun Stevens doesn't necessarily have the athletic upside the other guys do at all. He's not as fast as the other guys. And the other thing that I kind of think with him coming into the professional ranks is, as a guy, I know he's listed at 6'2", 255 on his team website, but he refers to himself as 6'1". And I've seen him say it in interviews and in other places that he's 6'1". And I saw him measure in at 6'5" somewhere. As a guy who's like, say, 6'1", 255, he's a guy who's going to have to lose weight and increase his foot speed to play linebacker in a passing league like the CFL. And then he's a little small to come off the edge. And I think his natural fit is still in the middle there. So I'd like to see him lose some weight there to get the mobility up.
He's a classic tweener. He's too small to play defensive end, but he's obviously super natural when it comes to like blitzing and just shooting gaps, witnessed by his 17 TFLs and 9 sacks in 2018. And on the flip side of that is he's probably so heavy set. So he's a power player who can come downhill, that he's so heavy set that, like Quincy said, he's not going to be a fantastic coverage player in the CFL. They throw the ball 70% of the time.
Obsessed with making it to the next level, the CFC Insider Gold membership was made for aspiring student athletes that are looking to get ahead with exclusive prospect rankings, recruiting tips, columns, and analysis. We've also added our exclusive U Sports recruiting guideline to the package to help you create a recruiting network with contact and educational information for all 27 programs across Canada. There's no such thing as the off season for CFC Insider Gold members, with daily recruiting tips to keep you on path and constant competition with our CFC ranking directory listing every prospect by province and position. Our next prospect we have to disclose. This one, CFC missed big time on the CFC 100 rankings. And I'm just going to throw Clint under the bus because it was his biggest miss ever.
Oh, easily. Even Tyrese LeBeau, who Quincy just mentioned like a minute ago or 5 minutes ago, all these guys were in the top 20 of their CFC classes. They were way up the list anyways. Halladick?
Ben Halladick, 6'4", 238 out of Vernon Place, UBC. He's obviously a specimen. And I remember going to one of the UBC games and sitting in the media booth with all the cronies doing their media stuff. And Howard Samara, just made one comment to me. He's like, how come you guys didn't rank Ben Halladick? What was wrong with you guys? And I really just kind of looked at him dumbfounded and was like, well, the scouting bureau didn't think he was good enough. Well, and Howie just kind of gave me a look like, you're insane.
Before Quincy gets going, like, honestly, Quincy, he's only 6'4", 240. Like, he doesn't even have the number.
Anyways, Quincy, tell us about our obvious big mistake.
That's a funny story. He's a guy who kind of right out of the gate coming into university started as a true freshman at UBC. So there's that. Don't mean to pile on, but yeah. So started as a true freshman right out of the gate at UBC. And through three seasons, he's totaled 189 tackles, 28 tackles for loss, 6.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 7 fumble recoveries, 5 pass breakups, and an interception in 28 games. Pretty good. 2018 and 2019, he was an All-Canadian, so there's that too. If you look at him, well, also look at his combine results, the first thing that kind of jumps to mind is the combination of A, his frame, and B, his movement skills and athleticism. Like at 6'4", 240 pounds, running a 4.6 40, sub 4.2 shuttle, a 6.6 6 three cone with a 10'7" broad jump and 29 reps on the bench press. He's in the elite percentile of just every test. I can't see Clint's face right now. I don't know what his reaction is on the other end as you keep laughing. Yeah, obviously huge, huge athlete there. Frame and versatility stands out at 6'4", 240. He's taken reps at defensive end, although I like him a little more at the mic position, and great in pursuit, whether it be kind of coming down on the ball. He uses his arms and hands well in the box to kind of wade through the traffic, and he can play sideline to sideline with his speed.
Well, Clint, tell us what you didn't see in high school.
I'm listening to all this, like, banter. He went to like Vernon's in the AA system in BC.
And only like been the champion for forever.
Anyways, I had never seen Vernon play. Part of our evaluations is kids who go to things, and he never really went to anything. And then the other part is we actually track kids down on their Twitter or their Instagram or their Huddle page. And he had that, but he didn't have his digits or his numbers or his measurables on those, because that wasn't part of, say, the process 3 or 4 years ago. So, yeah, we just totally missed him. Like, he's a freak, obviously. He could probably get invited to the NFL Combine and would show up. It's the biggest miss in the history, probably the history of CFC. There might be one other one, but, like, if you think of long-term and then you apply measurables with Combine scores, it's the biggest miss we've ever made. Even though he ended up in a U Sports school, and I'm not bashing U Sports at all because I coached in U Sports and played in U Sports for over 2 decades. It is the biggest miss ever. Big whiff.
I think for him, some compared to the other guys, where he's a little less as effective as other guys, kind of really with his frame and athleticism, what's keeping him from just being number one on all draft boards is I don't find him to kind of that violent of a player. He gets held up on blocks a little bit. I kind of found that at the second level and tackling, he sometimes gets caught tackling a little high, but sometimes he just looks not as, he doesn't really have that sort of, like I said earlier, wrecking ball factor that someone like Deshaun Stevens does. He's just solid back there.
Well, speaking about violent, our next prospect is definitely somebody who falls into that class. Grant McDonald, 6'3", 235 out of Tawasin, BC. He played at South Delta out here in BC for his high school days, another CFC 50. And I need to also say that Vernon is a CFC 25 high school ranked team. We actually keyed him down and dirty. That was one of our endearing nicknames for him, because he definitely was one of our favorite linebackers, probably the chippiest, as you can see from his nickname. But this is a family affair at the Dinos. He's got his brother Jack, and now Ben, I just learned, is going to the Dinos as a quarterback. So that's interesting. And Ben was phenomenal too. I mean, Clint, your team, Hayek, have played against South Delta forever. Tell us about Grant.
Yeah, he's a guy who's kind of an all-Canadian snub, given he has not been an all-Canadian somehow through his two-year career at Calgary. Not really sure how. But as through 2018 and 2019, as a starter, he had 142 tackles, 14 and a half tackles for loss, 6.5 sacks, forced fumble, 2 pass breakups, and an interception through 20 games. His production's bordering the level of Ben Fladdick's, but somehow McDonald was all conference once compared to Fladdick being all Canadian twice. But yeah, like you said, Grant McDonald started off at Maine back in 2017. And he saw special teams time there as a true freshman. I think he had something like 7 tackles. He was listed as a tight end, actually. So you can kind of see some of his athleticism there to be able to play a role as a receiver on that offense. But yeah, the biggest thing with him is his sideline to sideline play, I think. He's another guy who can pursue the ball well sideline to sideline. Obviously, that 4-5 40 comes into play there. But yeah, he's a great sideline to sideline player. Another guy with a desirable frame at position, being like 6'3.5" and over 230 pounds. And he diagnoses the play pretty well. Like, he reads runner pass fast and doesn't bite on fakes. So he's solid there.
Clint has a whole lot to say about Grant.
You know what he reminds me of? And Quincy may not remember. There was a linebacker from Concordia called Corey Greenwood. Played for the...
I know him now, but I wouldn't have known him like university. Yeah.
Okay. That's who Grant reminds me of. Corey was that way too, like 6'3", 230, and could run extremely well and was physical enough to stick his nose in there and do stuff, but also athletic enough where he could backdoor things, or he could just get over top of things and just chase everything down from bizarre angles. Kind of like Shea Emery, but Shea was shorter. That's who Grant reminds me of, is Corey Greenwood. I remember him in high school. He was awesome in high school. He was unblockable in high school. He was super, he wasn't dirty, but he was always saying something, or he was always doing something that would irritate opposing coaches. So I'm not sure if that's kind of part of his game still. And that could be the reason for the snub. Or it's funny in U Sports, if you kind of get behind somebody and they earn their All-Canadian 1 year and then maybe don't earn it the next year, if you know what I mean. So he may have just been stuck behind Ben in reputation. But I mean, obviously his team won a Vanier. He reminds me of Corey Greenwood. And you know what? He earned his nickname down here. And you said it's endearingly, Katie, which is totally the truth. He was down and dirty. He was feisty. I think that whole group of brothers was... They're feisty competitors.
Yeah, they are. Weren't we kind of shocked when he went to Maine? Didn't he even offer from Hawaii or something? And we were like, why is he going over there or something?
Yeah, he had an offer from Maine and an offer from Hawaii. And then he turned down the offer from Hawaii and moved all the way to Maine. And we were like, why?
Yeah.
And then we heard he had gone H-back tight end. And we were like, why is he converting over to offense? He never did that. And then, boom, there you go. Literally a semester later, he's back at the UFC with his brothers. Not shocking. I liked him. He's one of my favorite linebackers. In terms of that I've evaluated, the greatest film ever is Amon's, but Grant McDonald's was pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive.
And you know what? Obviously, I didn't think very much of Ben Laddick.
Our last prospect is Nick Cross. And as you alluded to, Quincy, one of the smaller guys, 6 feet, 200 pounds out of Regina, Saskatchewan. He's at UBC, transferred from U of Regina, but he played his high school at Leboldus, another CFC 50 ranked team. But he's one of our favorites out of Saskatchewan, actually, in a long time. He's just a baller. Give us the lowdown on Cross.
He's a guy who right out of high school went to Regina and was their starting Sam linebacker as a true freshman there, where he actually was National Rookie of the Year before having it stripped for marijuana use, actually. He's a guy who in 2017 and 2019 together, because he transferred to UBC and sat out 2018 because of it, he's a guy who had 137 tackles, 8.5 tackles for loss, a couple sacks, 5 pass breakups, 2 interceptions through 17 games as a starter, totaled combined with his 2017 season at Regina and 2019 season at UBC. He was an All-Canadian in both of those years, so All-Canadian as a true freshman is pretty impressive. What stands out when you see him is he's kind of a guy who's just a little bit all over the field. He led the country in tackles this past year, so that's a little self-explanatory there. He's a great tackler who can play sideline to sideline, good short area quickness relative to like the rest of the guys here. Obviously, he's a little smaller, as he measured in at 5'11 at the combine. And he's a great special teams player too. You can see that on his tape, which will probably kind of earn his stripes at the professional level, because he's a guy who is a bit of a tweener there too. Like at 5'11, 200 pounds, I'm not sure you're playing in the box at the professional level, or maybe he'll get reps at safety or something. But immediately he'll come in and be a great special teams player. But yeah, the knack on him is just like his size and kind of lack of positional fit. And he also didn't test at the combine. And I don't know why that is.
Well, I remember we went, it must have been the 2019 season, Clint. You and I went to, was it their homecoming game? I can't remember, here at UBC. Yeah, they played UFC, and we were standing down in the end zone. We just kept saying, like, he was hitting everybody. He was all over the field.
Yep. He might be the most out of the guys that you've got here, Quincy. Obviously, Eamon, like, I've already said that enough, but the Nick Cross is probably the most stinkful of the five. And if you were to talk about Tyrese LeBeau, I still give Nick Cross the nod overall. He's the most instinctful of all of them in my books, and he's probably got the most natural feel for the game of football itself. The way I see it is he'll be one of those players who doesn't have any of the measurables, and I don't know what his combine score was, so I'm not going to either touch that one, but he doesn't have any of the measurables, but he just makes plays all over the field, and he looks fast on film, or he looks quick on film. He'll be one of those players who just gets in, and he breaks down some of those barriers. Like, he's not tall enough, he's not fast enough, but he's like that type of player that comes along every now and then who just is a player, just a straight up baller. That's kind of how I've always seen him. When he was at Leboldis, we saw him that way. He reminds me of back in the day in the Miami Hurricanes in their heyday, they had this linebacker. His name is Rohan Marley. And yes, he was Marley's grandson or nephew, or maybe even his son. He was like 5'10", 200 pounds at the University of Miami, and he was an All-American. And that's what Nick Cross reminds me of. Look him up, Rohan Marley. But Nick Crosford totally reminds me of him. Just a straight-up baller.
I was just going to say, because I realized I haven't said it, like where I have these guys on my board right now. I have Ogbong Bamiga at 6, Stevens at 18. I kind of have 3 linebackers in a row here. Stevens at 18, Platic at 19, McDonald at 20, and then I have Cross at 30.
Where did you say you thought Cross would go in the CFL draft? What round?
I think he'll probably go in the first, I'll say 3 rounds. Yeah, I think he'll be like a 3rd round guy. He's That's probably my guess.
Because the guys like that can play specials. Players are a premium in the CFL. He can cover kicks. He's fast, but he can go in and play multiple positions too. So you could probably turn him into 3 if you wanted. I don't know if you'd ever want him to play Sam, because Sam's pretty specific in the CFL, but he could probably play like free. Play a whole bunch of special teams, and maybe because he has such a natural feel for it, maybe he plays inside linebacker, probably more like a Will, but he offers all those possibilities to you. And the special teams would just get me anyways.
May 4th is the draft, on the tail of them announcing that the CFL season is now going to be starting in August, with the Grey Cup being played in December. Like, yay, that's fun.
You're not helping.
In Hamilton. You want to watch the Grey Cup in Hamilton in the middle of December.
Is
really?
The Grey Cup in Hamilton?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just move it to BC for the year.
Seriously.
It's anyway. A little hard to project. Like, it could honestly be, like, not that cold, or it could be freezing cold, knowing kind of what the weather's like around here, because I'm only, like, half an hour from... It could be brutal, or it could be fine.
I know they were saying one of the commentators on TSN or something, I forget where I read or heard it, but he was like, oh, come on, it'll be the best. It'll be a true Canadian football game. And I'm just like, no. Like, I'm so cold.
Remember that it was like a Grey Cup like 5 years ago in, was it in Saskatchewan? I can't remember where it was, but literally like people were going hypothermic on the sideline. The weather was so cold. It might have, I think it was in Saskatchewan. And it was like, people were literally, or no, it might have even been the Vanya Cup. Oh, the Vanya Cup was in Saskatoon. That was it. And it was just like, how do they even do that? It's like minus 32. How do you play football? How does the quarterback grip the ball? My favorite linebacker, if I had the first round draft pick and Eamon's already gone to the NFL, I would pick Ben Halladick.
Yeah, that's pretty reasonable. I might be inclined to go the same way. Depending on the team, I think you could go with Platic or Stevens, depending on kind of what you want there.
How many years does Stevens have left?
I don't really know how he ended up in the draft this year, but if anything, I think only be going back for one more year, but I don't even think he is. I'm not sure though. He's one of the guys who I'm not positive on.
He would have redshirted. He redshirted 16, so that's the redshirt. And then 17, 18, he played one game in 19, so he would have got his medical. So that would be medical and red out of the way in two. So he literally, he could play, he'll have a COVID season this year. So it's a wash. So he could play two more years in the NCAA.
He was granted a medical red shirt, but then still put on the CFL's draft list, which, and he's listed as a redshirt senior as opposed to a redshirt junior right now. So I'm not sure if he did or didn't get the medical redshirt or like what his deal is. But yeah, like based off like kind of the situation, he should have two more years, but I'm not sure if he has one or two or if he's even going to use them at all.
Well, just from my own experience, sometimes the CFL draft list might be
a little
I'm not going to say horrible, but
reliable.
The realities of the world may not have caught up with the list, because from what I used to observe is they just throw kids on it and they're in their grad year and they give them the 4 years or the 4+1 and then they just put it, they're on the list.
They very consistently miss names or put names on there that shouldn't.
Oh, and they leave on there too. I've seen my fair share of draft lists where you coach in that conference. So you're going through your own roster because they ask you to, and you literally cancel off half the kids. And then you look at other kids from other teams and you're like, not a prospect. But you're also not, their coach. So it's not really...
I know, like most recently, I think it was like 2 days ago, I was looking at this Cole Nelson guy because he was a defensive tackle who at the combine he's like 6'6", 310, but ran a 40 in under 5 seconds out of Alberta. But he hasn't actually like produced really kind of anything. I'm not sure what the deal with that is, whether it be injuries, but I go on his Alberta profile and see that he played 2015, 2016. And then didn't play, and then played 2018, 2019. So I'm like, why wasn't this guy on the draft list 2 years ago? If his clock started going in 2015, and he's just on the draft list now.
That's weird.
So you got seven years to play five. From the time you leave high school, the rules are you have seven to play five in Canada. I'm assuming, what happened is he probably played 2 years and then flunked out. And then came.
I assume he went for 2 years, then like played junior for 2 years, then came back. But like, the clock starts ticking as soon as you're on a university roster. And then you're in the draft 4 years out from then. So if you were first on the roster 2015, there's 2015, 16, 17, 18, which would have put him in the 2019 draft. But
you can not according.
Yeah, but just not according to the CFL. They just missed the guy.
You can defer for 1 year. There's guys who do that quite frequently. You just have to fill out a form.
Be sure to follow us on our Facebook, Twitter, @ChatFootball, Instagram, CFC_football, and YouTube. And don't forget to purchase your exclusive CFC Insider Gold membership today on CanadaFootballChat.com for access to rankings, analysis, and daily football recruiting news across Canada. Quincy, thanks again. What position do we have coming up next?
I was kind of thinking defensive back. That's kind of what was in my head. Pretty stacked class there.
Okay, well, we'll get on that next week. And thanks again. This has been the Recruiting Masters, brought to you by the CFC Insider. Have a great night, everyone.